I, James, founded and work for HPI, but do not represent them or any of their opinions.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 310 of the Furlow Bros Tech Podcast. Today is Rocktober the 24th, 2017. Every week, we definitively answer one question about the future of tech. To do that, we take into account many factors, including the companies involved, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and of course, the technology they're developing. I'm Matthew Dean Furlow, and stocking up on spooky trick-or-treat candy is my brother, James Furlow.
Yeah, we're in that weird phase where my daughter gets the idea of candy and gets the idea of dressing up, but doesn't get the idea of Halloween yet. But she likes it. We go to people's houses and we knock on their doors and they hand her candy. So she's like, well, cool, whatever.
This is fantastic. I don't question it. I just like it.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So send me some cute videos of her in her costume in the week. the whole family likes them. So this week,
I'm not bantering. Sorry.
I know. Whatever.
Just like, leave me out to hang, dude.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll move on. So this week there was a kind of a big announcement for an Internet of Things company, August. They make a smart lock that, you know, you can open with your phone and open with the internet and everything.
That I own.
Nice. And they've been kind of a big deal for that market because they've had a pretty high quality product.
Super cool.
They got,
it's one of the most, I don't know if it's the most secure smart home lock, but it's like top one or two.
Yeah. And that's, they've had all sorts of researchers do stuff and that's been pretty well agreed.
And it just works, which is nice.
But. So they got bought. Yeah. So they got bought by Yale, which is a lock company, not the university,
but
Yale Locks. And this,
I was wondering, did they get bought to get dissected and taken apart? What's this?
No, they're getting brought into the fold. There's some belief that it might be have to do with the fact that August has they've got a contract with Walmart for allowing deliveries to like get one-time codes to get into your.
I participated in the beta program, which was cool.
Did you? That didn't freak you? That seems like a non-starter to me. I'm like, just leave it on my door, man. You're not allowed to walk into my house.
they gave me free product to try it. So
well then.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, we'll give you a Nest Cam to record everything. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. Oh. Plus, we'll give you another August lock. It's like or another August product. It's like, yeah, I'm in. I'll do this. So. Yeah, I did it. It was weird. I'll admit it. I have a dog too, which doesn't help. If I didn't have a dog or if I lived in a city, like in an apartment building, like that would be a different situation.
Yeah. Well, one of the things so August wasn't doing well. They were struggling. They had a pretty.
Really? Clever, were they?
Yeah. Yeah. Evidently, turns out they weren't because they've been talking about doing their own thing and they just launched a product that was a much cheaper version of their Deadbolt. But it wasn't really a complete product. There was a lot of thirst for a much more affordable version with a longer battery life, but it didn't come with a lot of the features that have really made it a big selling point. One of the big
just didn't lock. I don't know.
It wasn't the full featured Internet of Things thing. It was like it had a motor, but like it didn't out the box work with things like Apple HomeKit and stuff like that. You had to get extra bridges and which brought up and it just complicated things. So anyways, long and short of it is they got bought and it sort of started this conversation about how do you know when a company is going to be they're coming off the rails. Either they're going to get bought or they're going to get, they're going to fail outright or whatever. And
yeah,
there was an article that I read called The Canary in the Coal Mine by John Biggs of TechCrunch. And he basically was saying that there are signs that you can see that tell you that a company's going to fail. And he posited that if you watch startups long enough, you start to see interesting tells. Poor products launched haphazardly. The CEO is probably focused on an acquisition or almost out of money. Red hot cycle with loads of interest. You're about to be headed for a correction of biblical proportions. Celebrity investors making the news. The company is sunk. Hot dog costumes. You probably want to talk to your broker, which I appreciated that jab at Snapchat. So the question is, are those good tells? What are good tells? If you're trying to bet your money, where's the company?
That's interesting. Those are tells, which, again, you think about like August, maybe the only one was the poor product launch, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And it could have been because of the out of money piece. And they obviously didn't do the other things. There's some fundamental ways, for starters, that you can tell if a company is going to survive, thrive, or fail. And there's some really obvious ones, like, are they making money? That's right. Kind of a big one. And which one would argue, yeah, that's what it's all about. Another thing I think is, did the sales grow organically? Not necessarily, they don't have to be viral or exponential, but are they dependent on advertising to get that next dollar? Or is it just customers are going, this is actually a pretty sweet product, you should check it out. Like I for one, was an August evangelist, going, this thing's pretty cool. Like I know that Ring's been in the news a lot and making big headways. And every time I look at it, I go, I don't know. There's something about it that just kind of, I'm not a super fan of it. August is much more slick solution, in my opinion. And, you need that kind of activity. And then I thought it was actually really interesting. I'm reading a book right now called The Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And you may or may not have seen his TED Talk that's called How Great Leaders Inspire Action. I think it's like the number one or number two watched TED Talk. So
that's pretty good.
Chances are you've seen it if you're into TED Talks, which you're in the TED Talks, let's be honest, because you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
So anyways, he talks about, again, why companies, why leaders are successful at creating transformation and others are not. And one of the things that he talks about is the golden circle, which he says normal companies, they start with the what we do. What is our product? We sell computers. I don't know. And then they talk about the how they do it, which might be like the speeds and feeds thing. It's 10,000 gigabytes of RAM plus, which sounds, I don't know if that sounds cool or not. Can't take advantage of it. but anyways, like, speeds and feeds, right? And it's like, and that's what normal companies talk about. He goes, ones that make a huge difference, they start with why. And that's the inner part of the circle. Why do we exist? What are our fundamental beliefs that we have? And then how do we express that belief? And what are those products that we're actually selling? And so he goes, you can tell the ones who will be successful because they start with why. Now, it just so happens that I was catching up on news, and so I watched Elon Musk's latest speech with, I forget, some space organization, and it was called Making Life Multiplanetary. I think this is the second year in a row that he's talked about it, and it's kind of a SpaceX update. And I thought it was super interesting. They introduce him, and the very first words out of his mouth, he goes, I think it would be good to remind you why we're here. And you're just like, and my mind's like, oh my gosh, blown. and all of a sudden it went, that's why we like him. And that's why he's so intriguing, because he has a very powerful why. And he talks about it. He starts with it. He goes on a 5-minute, like, here's why we're doing this. Here's why we're investing all this money. Here's why we're trying to do this. And then he gets into the how and the what afterwards. Right. And it's inspiring. People go like, yes. So I look at like SpaceX and you go, they're going to make it. They're going to be fine. Now, granted, yes, they flirted with bankruptcy a couple times. And actually just so happened, he got like a little emotional that the day he gave the talk was the same day that the fourth rocket, the first one to actually work, flew. He's like, so kind of a, it's a big day. And he's like, and honestly, if that one didn't fly, we were done. And which you're like, that's crazy. But he had a very strong why. He was willing to do that. And so you wonder with companies like August, like, well, what's their why? Why did they see the need to say, we need to have a smart lock? We need to enable this next level of safety behind it. Do they as a company talk about the why, or do they just talk about the house? Oh, it's super slick. Oh, it connects to all your different smart home devices. Why do I care? Like the in-home delivery, right? Like you've already, that sounds like a non-starter. I don't want to do it because they're not communicating the why that would be important.
Right.
And or you go, yeah, that's cool, not for me.
Right.
And so you think about different companies, like what's that why behind it? Do they have that? And I think that's a fundamental thing. And you know what? Biggs is probably right, where there are certain things, haphazard project launch. Yeah, you know what? That means they're horrible at execution. Totally agree. You know,
yeah.
Not a great sign. Load the hype cycle, which we'll talk about Magic Leap later on. That's when we're like, come on, guys. And I've seen other ones in that space where like, man, they just like, they're great at PR, not great at building the product. And you know, you got a problem when you do that. The celebrity investor is making the news. Yeah, perhaps. You know, I don't know. Outside of Uber has been a fantastic example of that lately. And the hot dog costumes, that's an example of just like getting, having trouble to stay focused on what's your product? What are we doing? Why is this? Again, it gets back to that. Why is it important? Are hot dog costumes important? What is Snapchat's why? How does a hot dog costume move that forward? Besides like, oh, it's a chance to make a quick buck. Is that your why? Because if making a quick buck is your why, you're not going to be around.
Right. Yeah. Well, I completely agree. So
I think what we need to do next is we need to take a look at some of the startups out there and let's do a thumbs up, thumbs down. But first,
yes, we've got our first official sponsor. This week's episode is being brought to you by Thor Ragnarok. They're not an official
Ragnarok.
We're not getting paid for this. In the movie, the reviews came out, and I mean, I'm excited. If I'm honest, I'm very excited.
The trailers look awesome. I like they've taken a little bit of a positive left turn with Thor. I'm saying, you know what? Let's unwind him a little bit.
Yes.
I like it.
Let's be a little bit goofy. Yeah. This is worth the,
let's give him a haircut and it's all good.
Yeah. This is worth the second, cause we are at 98% with 49, fresh tomatoes.
And there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I should see it. Huh?
So anyway, so that's who's bringing us this podcast. Every time you go see the movie, we get a kickback of feeling good. We don't get any money.
you can leave us a comment though saying, hey, I watched the movie because you guys said it was good.
Yeah.
Or just, I watched the movie. That works as well.
We're pretty
flexible on comments.
If you didn't like it, keep it yourself. Nobody wants your
opinion. Yeah. We'll delete your comment actually. So
mind your own.
We actively moderate.
So I wrote down a list of startups that everybody should be familiar with. We're going to start with just a smattering of a couple, and then we'll work our way up to the most valuable startups of 2017.
Ooh, okay.
So we're gonna warm up with the easy ones. First up is Magic Leap. It's a company that is developing the future of augmented
of hype.
Reality.
Augmented hype.
Yeah, they basically. They haven't launched a product. They haven't demoed a product. They've raised nearly $2 billion in cash without actually shipping anything.
See, that's your problem right there. Like it's the hype issue. You get expectations so high, like they cannot meet it no matter what. And I mean, Apple kind of struggles from this problem from tech reporters, but thankfully it works for regular customers. But like, they're already in trouble, which what? Their CEO has probably been making buku bucks this last few years. I don't feel bad for him.
Well, and I think the CEO invites it on himself. I think that Magic is in for a major correction. As the worst part is...
Major correction? What's to correct? They still don't have a product.
Their valuation's going to go down.
And oh, okay. Fair
it's
enough.
It's hard to believe that it won't. It feels like one of those ones that's just sort of ran away with expectations. And yeah, I'm still going to be shocked if they ever ship a product. I think best case scenario is that they get
a How crazy would that be if they never ship a product? And honestly, like that is a high probability.
Yeah. Well, especially because it's so, the expectations are so high to be able to project these images into your eyeballs, and they've got to be great, or what do we pay all that money for? And I don't know.
And it's one of those, you think about all the other companies who are looking at the AR, VR space, like Microsoft hasn't thought of this. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, and even if they do have something genuinely unique and better, are you trying to say that there's nothing that's going to be good enough that a bigger company with more of a record isn't going to come along like Microsoft or Apple?
And by the way, like, in order to have a patent, you have to actually be selling a product.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're not. So, yeah, whatever.
So we'll go with the
they're
next.
Done.
So they're done.
Thumbs down. Yeah. They're not going to make it.
I think best case scenario is an acquisition for them.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Mercy killing. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to go fire sale prices. Yep. So next up, Snapchat.
It's one of those, they got enough money. They're Twitter, you know, like I put they're that same category as Twitter, where they're just gonna kind of keep going along.
Yeah,
they just raised some money, didn't they? Which you're like, oh, that's a bad sign when you got to raise some more money.
Yeah, right after your initial IPO, which you're like, isn't the whole point to raise just an enormous amount of cash?
Now, granted, it does say like they're the new Facebook for teens, which I'm like, yeah, Facebook started out with college kids, which again, didn't have a ton of money, but like teens don't have money.
Yeah.
And they don't have money for a long time.
And Facebook continued to grow aggressively, faster than anybody else could believe, for a decade. I mean, that's not the same case with Snapchat. So
I come back to like Snapchat, they call themselves a camera company. Like if you get back to that golden circle, you get to the why, like they don't know what it is.
I know.
They don't know why they exist. Like we exist to make money and take pictures. Like, no, you don't, man. Like your communication platform tool, just own it. But they don't want to, because that's not cool. And that's a problem.
And it makes them, I think it from an investor perspective, when they pitch the company, they have to directly compete with Facebook if they do that. And that terrifies them for good reason.
Yeah, for good reason.
All right, next up.
Thankfully, Lyft. Facebook's not confused about that.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, Facebook's a camera company now.
Right. Lyft, oh man, such an interesting company.
They just got $1 billion from Google Ventures, like this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about them where I think they're going to be around a while. I think they're kind of that, I'm trying to figure out, are they like Reebok? Well, they'll always be around. But Reebok always feels like just not quite as good as Nike. You know what I'm saying?
The difference I would say is.
But you have more experience than I do in both services.
I would say Lyft, from a service perspective, they're both equally fine. The apps are both really intuitive. Sometimes the prices for one are better than the other. If you're in a market where they're saturated, they're both super quick. I would say I come back. I think that this is a much bigger topic, but I think the future of ride sharing companies are going to be self-driving cars. And
fair enough.
Ford and Google have both thrown in behind Lyft, whereas Uber is out on its own.
News.
Yeah, so I think from that perspective, if they're not the winner, I think they're around as the second place in that. You know, if they're not the dominant one, they'll at least be the runner up, and they'll be around in a successful.
Yeah, or are they the car version of an OEM? Or I'm trying to decide. You get that sense, like, I don't know. Yes, they'll be around. No, I don't think they'll ever be super profitable.
No, yeah, I think I think I could see them get bought by Google or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Where it's, you know, somebody's got to build a platform and they're like, look, we could pay you or we can buy you. and the CEOs will be like, one of those sound really good. So let's how about you make me a millionaire overnight? I think that's where they're at. So a Furlough Bros darling, Robinhood.
Oh, Robinhood. I like Robinhood.
Yeah.
I'm so biased here. I don't even know how to think clearly about this. Yeah, I want them to continue on. I mean, the price is right. Their app is slick. I feel like they've got some organic growth going on.
The price is right. Free.
But yet they still make money, which is nice. You know, they were okay with opening it up slowly and scaling it appropriately, which one could argue is part of the hype. But I think theirs was more like, no, we want to make sure the infrastructure works.
Yeah.
You know, you got the sense that they did it for the right reason. And these are people who grew up in the, or spent a lot of time in the financial industry and just saw what was going on. It was like, dude, like they're charging too much. There's a cheap, easy, free way to do this that provides a good service. I think they got a strong why. I like them.
I
am so biased though. Like
I'm going to say, well, and I think the one big thing that they do is just, they're quiet. They keep their head down. They just keep having iterations and developing a better platform and more products and just slowly growing it. And they make do organically. That's the other thing. Like there's a lot of organic growth that they experience.
Now, I think there's some risk in economies tumbling and stock markets resetting, which happened, by the way. It's just a question of when, not if. You know, will they be able to survive that when investors are like, oh, stock market's dumb for like, you know, the 2 or 3 year break that they all take when that happens.
Right.
Which again, like theory they should survive since they don't make money off trading.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. So next up, Fitbit.
Fitbit, man, they're like the Sears of smartwatches where you're like, how are you not dead yet?
I know, right? It does feel inevitable at this point. I was a big fan of the company, but their latest watch has just kind of stumbled and Apple just continues to dominate in the market. I think at this point, you either got to get up to Apple's game or you're just really cruising for a bruising.
Or you just own an Android, I guess, which a lot of people do.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Well, yeah, that's a good point.
The
frustrating part is it feels like there's enough space in the market, but they don't feel like the company that can...
And I guess the question is, what size are they okay with being? I feel like if they pick a size, they're like, yeah, you know what? We're not number one, we're number three, and they're okay with that because they're providing a good workout watch or device. I think they could be okay. I think their problem is they have hopes of something bigger, something grander.
Yeah.
And they're going to push it.
I would make this argument. I think the biggest difference between, I've always thought the biggest difference between Facebook and MySpace is Facebook had a much higher, higher emphasis on solid engineering. The fundamentals of the platform worked. It was well engineered, well designed, well built, well ran from an engineering perspective. I don't think Fitbit can make that claim. And I think that's the thing that they struggle against the most. Is that they just struggle more from an engineering perspective. Hardware is hard, it turns out. So what about If This Then That, the script company?
Yeah, man.
I think they have a good why. I just have no idea how they make money.
which I think was one of my criteria. I know that feels like such a perfect company to be like some sort of open source or Wikipedia style nonprofit type of consortium thing where everybody kind of puts in their own APIs and they all connect. I don't know. There's a need. It's interesting. I was looking at it earlier today, yesterday, trying to do something cool with my lights. And it turns out Philips Hue's just flicker. They don't actually you can't change a color and then change it back. I wanted to be like when a sports game started, I wanted to flash my team colors and then go back to whatever it was. Turns out Philips Hue's are not that smart. So at least it's not available in their API, I should say. And so I was like, bummer. Can't use IFT for that. And I don't know. Sure. Yes, but maybe not in the current incarnation that it will continue in on.
Interesting.
I guess. I don't know.
You know, I could see them sticking around. I could see them sticking around and just...
I've got to imagine it's not very hard to run. It's just servers.
Right, yeah. It's part of it. It's pretty low end. I mean, that can get expensive, but if you get it right, you can survive that.
I know, and they keep playing with revenue models, trying to figure it out. Eventually,
they have an enormous amount of user information too, which is a valuable resource.
That's nice.
They can't monetize it at this moment.
Yeah.
So what about the creator of Android's new startup, Essential?
Andy Rubin.
Yeah, he's got a new phone out, the Essential phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
No, it's again, what's his why? You know, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, it's I could see a small niche maybe of survival, but that's not what they want. I mean, they want a successful, the profit margins on phones are so incredibly slim. You either have to be Apple or sell just a mountain of phones. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that. So.
Yeah. It's interesting too, that Google decided to buy HTC and not Essential. And I could see that where someday Google's like, you know what, we're just going to take you guys. And maybe that's what Andy Rubin was hoping for. I don't know how he left the company. That may or may not be an option. Here's what it is. I get the sense he built it to be acquired.
Yeah.
That was his, like, we're going to come out with this aspirational product to show here's what it could be. And they're like secretly hoping that Microsoft went, yeah, you know what? Yeah. We want that.
That feels like a good position. It's like Next, you know, for when Steve Jobs was at Next.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I'm proud of. It's something that's great, but if we get bought, fine.
Right. That's the sense that you get.
Yeah.
And yeah, we want to show off our talent and we want to,
we
want to make $10 million on our talent, which is fine. You know, I get that. But I don't think they'll make it.
All right. So we're going to move on to the most valuable startups of 2007.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to go low to high, starting with Dropbox.
You know what? Dropbox changed something this year. They were a company that was struggling and flailing and they didn't have their wine. It was very clear because they were like, we got this photo carousel thing and we're doing this email thing and we're doing this, I don't know. There was like one other office productivity tool that they bought. And it was just like, what are you guys doing? And I remember thinking like, man, they may not be around very long.
Yeah.
Are all my files backed up? And then somewhere in there, they probably got a new leader and I just don't follow the news enough to keep up with it. But they suddenly went, you know what? We do file storage really well. And let's help people collaborate on file storage.
Yeah. Right.
And they crystallized on it. And now like their team, they're pulling out new products. I disagree with their current design choice that they just rolled out. I'm like,
their new logo is ugly.
Oh man. But you know, whatever, they're making changes. And so I think they're in a good place now. I think they're going to stick around. I know that like Apple's like, we're coming after you. No, you're not. It's fine. iCloud's not a replacement. OneDrive is not a replacement. Dropbox is the best product out there. If you want to know what the best is, you go with that. You already have Office 365. Oh, okay. It's our argument.
Cool. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. So the most Pinteresting website on the internet.
Oh my gosh, Pinteresting. Yes, I guess. I don't know. Like they figured out the revenue thing. They continue. They're one of the most creative companies I've seen. Which the nature of their website forces them to think about things differently. Like their whole interest search and their interests, graph that they're coming up with. You're like, yeah, you know what? They get it. And they keep iterating in their own way and what makes sense for them. I like them.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I think that, I tend to agree. I think that you've got a company that they've got a revenue model, which is huge. They understand what they are. They've got a good market. They Reddit struggles with things that monetizing the website in a way that Pinterest just doesn't. And I think that,
Yeah, they're not going to be the next Facebook or LinkedIn, but, and they may someday choose to get bought by somebody. I don't know. I feel like they're big enough now where it would cause a problem.
Yeah.
But they also don't. I think they're okay with that. I don't think they're looking. Yeah, I like them.
All right. SpaceX.
Well, obviously, I think they're going to be around a while.
Yeah, I think
at least through 2022 when he said they'll do their first mission to Mars. Did you watch that? Like, we're going to link to it. It's totally worth. He's the worst speaker in the world.
I know.
But
part of his appeal.
No, it's not. And I'm just like, dude, just practice. That's all I'm asking. Just
he's
like
busy, man.
Run through your note cards once. That's something to drive over.
He's the only CEO in tech that will look at a slide while he's giving a presentation and say, that's not a very good slide. Sorry about that. And just keep sliding. Did you even look at what it was going to look like on a big screen? Like, you crazy guy.
Yeah, I've seen that. No, but he does one of them where it shows like Mars mission. He goes, it's 2022. And he goes, that's not a typo. it's aspirational, but it's not a typo. Just like, I appreciate that. And then I think at one time, like, his presentation actually finished, and then the deck exited out to just the default Apple background, and he just kind of does it, and he goes, and mountains. And he, you know, just like, what? Just rolls with it. Pretty good. Yeah, he's got a super strong why. Super strong why. They're making money now. They're showing success. I think they're going to be around. They're going to change the world and this planet. I have no doubt of that.
And I think because his why is so powerful, even though they've come to the edge of bankruptcy a couple of times, I don't think it was as perilous as it would have seemed. I think they would have figured out a way to come back. It would have been rough. Yeah. It would have been long. But I think that they've made it.
Yeah, he would have given up a percentage of his company, and he would have made it happen.
Yeah, they would have. Yeah, exactly. They've made it through the most difficult period for them. And even that, I don't think they came as close to disaster as they would have, if it would seem.
Yeah.
All right. So the next two real quick, because I think we're going to come to the same conclusion. WeWork and Palantir.
Wait, what is Palantir?
Palantir is a...
I feel like I should know this.
It's a Peter Thiel company that sells big data analysis and machine learning tools to companies like the CIA and the NSA, so they can read all of our text messages and whatnot.
Huh.
So in my opinion, both of those companies fit into the... They understand exactly what they are. They keep their heads down. They're quiet, and they just make a mountain of money. So,
Pretty good. WeWork's a little more flashy than that, but I think you kind of got to be when you're trying to court tenants. But I didn't even recognize Palantir. So there you go.
Yeah,
Palantir.
Palantir tries to keep it that way because what they do is a little bit.
Surprise,
so the last two, number two place, Airbnb.
You know, a new competitor just popped up who got a significant amount of funding last week. So I don't think Airbnb needs to worry about it. I feel like they've got a pretty strong why. They got a good market too.
Yeah,
I think as long as they're not dumb, they'll continue on. And I don't think they're dumb.
The biggest hurdles that they have are legal ones, I think. And they just have to take those case by case and be smart, you know.
And they seem to be.
Higher expensive lawyers.
You know, you think about like their CEOs when they got started, like they were couch surfers. That was their whole thing. And they went, man, this would be cool to like make a platform to make this easier.
Yeah.
That's a pretty strong why right there.
Exactly. And so the big one, the crazy one, Uber.
You know, with their new CEO, they got a chance. And they just changed the board to one share equals one vote. So
I think they've made a huge change in the last couple of weeks since Travis got kicked out.
Shocking.
And I think that they are on a good trajectory. I don't think they're going to be they are not going to be as big. Travis Kalanick, his aspiration for the company was much bigger than it currently is. That being said, as a result, this company is going to be very successful for a long time, I think.
I agree.
Think doing well.
Well, there you go. Those are what we think. Question for you, Mr. Listener, Mrs. Listener, Miss Listener, is which startup do you think is in the most perilous position? Okay, so we're not looking for like which one you think will IPO next. Like, who do you think's on the chopping block? Either for an acquisition or just about to close down. So go ahead, leave us a comment, let us know. And with that, we want to say thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it. You can check out all the links, including the video that I've mentioned more than once at furloughbros.com/310. Wow, man, we're already at 310. Crazy. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. And we want to say thank you to a couple people. First one is John Biggs for kicking off this entire conversation, for Swapna Krishna for talking about the actual August acquisition, and then for Simon Sinek and Elon Musk. Thanks, Elon. We appreciate it. And finally, we want to let you know that this podcast is sponsored by listeners just like you and Thor. So go watch it. on that note, I've already forgotten. I am James Furlow, and my Halloween dress-up candy-loving brother is Matthew Furlow. And so we will talk next time.
Thank you.